Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the mountainside grounds at Graymore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Part 3 of the Story of David.
The man's name was Amnon, Prince Amnon, my cousin. He had sinned against God and against man. He had sinned against his half-brother's sister. But on this night, as he walked through the hallways of the royal palace towards his own chambers, there was the sudden flash of half a dozen knives. And my cousin Amnon lay dead in the dark shadows of the night. Dead in the palace of his father, David. Dead by the hand of his own half-brother, Absalom. Absalom. Oh, come on. You're as awake as I am.
Who is this?
All right, we'll play out the comedy. This is your cousin Joab, and I bring you bad news you already know. Your half-brother Amnon is dead.
Dead, you say?
Slain.
And you awaken me at this hour to tell me that? Come, Joab, surely I'm not expected to grieve or go into mourning at this hour.
You killed him.
I?
Yes, you.
Well... You're mistaken, Joab.
He was murdered by your orders.
I hated him. I swore revenge. I had every good motive. But I did not instigate this killing.
Liar.
You call the son of David a liar and a murderer?
I call my cousin and my friend a liar and a murderer, yes.
Oh, Joab, you hurt my feelings. Can you prove your charges?
One of your paid assassins was caught. He confessed before he was killed.
Oh.
The others are being hunted down.
He confessed, eh?
He named you.
Well, you're guilty of spoiling my night's rest, Joab, so I might as well get up. Pass me that flask of wine.
Here, drink it. It'll give you courage to face your father.
Ah, yes, my father. You think he'll condemn me?
What do you think?
Oh, I'm his favorite and most beautiful son, the apple of his eye. Besides, he knew what Amnon did.
But he won't take kindly to your having taken the law into your own hands.
You know you may be right.
I am right.
Your good health, cousin.
What are you going to do?
Do? Am I called upon to do something?
Your precious neck is in danger. If I were you, I'd leave this city before morning comes.
Flee my father's house?
Flee his judgment and save your hide, yes.
Well, Joab, I'll tell you what I'll do. Exactly what you suggested. I'll get away. Just in case my father's anger might be the death of me if I stay here. But send word to me.
Where will you go?
To my mother's house, which is far enough away from here to afford me sanctuary. For a time, anyway.
I'll tell no one where you are.
Bless you, my cousin. Bless your generous motives, whatever they are. For some peculiar reason, I know I can trust you.
My motives are fairly sound and good ones.
For a soldier, and I must admit you're the best soldier in this country, you're an excellent politician, too.
Name me one general who remained in a high place who wasn't a politician.
Help me get ready.
I'll have a horse saddled for you while you get dressed. And if I were you, I'd hurry.
Oh, I will. Believe me, Cousin Joab.
Before the dawn came, Prince Absalom had left the city and had vanished into the desert. Soon afterwards, I was summoned before my uncle, King David himself, who received me in private audience.
What is this I hear?
It is true, my lord.
My son, Absalom, has caused the death of his brother.
It is true, my lord.
Using the cowardly hands of assassins.
He could not with his own hands slay his brother. Yet he wanted vengeance.
Where has he gone? They say he's left the city.
I don't know where he went, my lord.
I think you do.
My love for you, my lord, and my love for your son causes me to lie. Forgive me.
I couldn't have him hunted down. A father cannot hunt down his own son.
He's gone into exile, my lord. He will suffer for what he has done.
He will send word to you?
I would like to think so.
Then let him know I will not search for him. But tell him never to come back here. He will never set foot in my house again. Now, leave me and let me mourn.
And in these days, David mourned because he loved his son Absalom even more than his other sons, including Solomon. Now you must know that in the days in which I lived, I was commander-in-chief of all the armies of Israel. We were then the mightiest nation in the world. Because of my rank, because I was David's nephew, I was close to the royal family. My voice carried much weight with David. After much time had passed, I contrived to make David relent towards Absalom.
Joab, I wanted to talk about Absalom.
Forgive him, my lord.
If the Lord God can forgive so much wrong that we all do, surely we can find it in our hearts to forgive each other in some measure. And I miss my son.
Let me find him. Let me bring him home.
I swore he would never set foot in my house again. He never will, as long as I live. But go to him and tell him he may come back to this city and be safe, but that I shall not see him, nor shall he come into this house. At least I'll know he's close by.
Cousin Joab, welcome, welcome.
I've ridden a full day and night to get here.
Then refresh yourself, drink some wine.
Send these women away.
Deprive them of my beauty and charm?
Send them away.
Oh, ladies, I deplore this, but go. Charming, aren't they? The tall one claims to be Egyptian. I think she's Greek. But then a beautiful woman has no nationality, has she?
You seem to be well installed here.
Surrounded by friends. Joab, you really have no idea how many friends I do have. Oh, not just here, but all across the desert and in the hills. In fact, I've been quite occupied in making friends.
Yes, you have a way with you.
I do, don't I? I really do. I've quite a talent for drawing people to me and influencing crowds to my way of thinking. I have a most unique talent.
You've been talking to the crowds?
In this city and in several towns. And I have made friends with many of the Bedouin desert tribes. You must agree that requires considerable talent. But tell me, what brings you here?
Your father sent me.
How is he?
He says you may return to the city.
I may return to the city.
But not to the palace.
Not to the palace.
You will not be molested.
Pompous old fool.
Enough!
I'm touched by your loyalty to him.
I'm just as loyal to you and with more affection.
Frankly, I don't care if I never set eyes on him again.
Then still he loves you.
Yes, yes, he dotes on me. He always did. And I despise him.
Is that your answer?
My answer? Oh, no, no, no. Oh, I'll accept his terms.
You will?
They suit me perfectly.
To go back to the city with everyone there knowing you may not enter your father's house?
Oh, don't weep on my account, dear cousin. I doubt if I'll feel rejected. People love me, you know. I'll gather many friends about me once I'm back.
Then you'll come back.
Carry the glad news back to my father. Spread the word among the people that Prince Absalom returns.
He came back as he said he would. And on the day he entered the city of David, I stood with King David on the balcony of the palace, listening to the crowds that swarmed in the street to welcome Prince Absalom back.
The people love him, Joab. They love him as we do.
I'm not sure I like what I hear, my lord. There's a crowd in the square. And if Absalom is there, he'll make some sort of speech.
To acknowledge their love. To thank them for their welcome.
Let me speak. Let me address you, my old and dear friend. Thank you. Thank you from my heart. I realize now that I have stayed away too long. For there's not one among you, not a man, who would not have avenged a sister as I did. Yes, I have come back. I have come back among my own people. But I am cast out by my father. I may not set foot in his house. I am disowned by this man who rules you like some despot and who is hated all the way across the desert. And I tell you now, this hatred for David, my father, will someday destroy us, destroy you and me. The tribes in the desert are restless, and their chiefs are talking about uniting against us, uniting in their hatred for King David.
My lord, I must tell you what is going on.
I know what is going on.
Absalom is plotting against you, in the very shadow of this palace, inciting the people against
you. My people will not rise against me.
Absalom is capturing their minds. They are listening to
him. I cannot stop him.
My lord, you must.
I cannot lay a hand on my son.
My lord, your son has turned against you. He is a traitor, a criminal.
Now forgive me. The Lord has beset me with many trials. And perhaps he tests me again. Joab, am I not the Lord's chosen? Didn't he choose me to rule Israel?
Oh, my lord, you are God's anointed.
Then will the Lord let my son overthrow me?
Let me ask this question, my lord king. You are king by force of arms as well as by anointment. By force of arms, you must defend yourself against your enemy. And your son is your enemy. He wants the crown, and he'll use every means to get it.
I cannot yet believe that. I think my son is trying to force me to take him back into the palace, but I will not be forced.
Have I your permission to visit him, my lord?
Any time you wish.
Swine. Treacherous swine.
Careful, Joab. I may be your king someday.
Not while I live, nor while your father lives.
How sad. How sad to think I may have disposed of you as well as him by the time I wear the crown.
You're a madman.
Or not mad. But very clever, Joab. Look to your own soldiers and ask yourself how many of them will desert you and flock to me when I give the word.
You're a fool as well as a madman. Do you really consider giving battle to me?
I would prefer your love and your loyalty, but if I have to fight you on the field of battle, then I must.
If you fight me, you fight your father.
I have no father. And everything I've told the crowds is true. David is hated, and the tribes are uniting against us. If I can overthrow this man who calls himself my father and take his place, I can make peace with the desert tribes. I'd talk peace to them, then one by one I'd destroy each tribe.
We are not worried about the Arabs. We can take care of them. Oh, Absalom, stop misleading the people about all this imaginary danger. There is no danger.
Well, there is, if I say there is, and the people believe me. Moreover, I'll have their support when I call for it. I'm not unprepared, you know.
I know all about the army you're collecting.
I was sure you did know. It's almost impossible to keep an army hidden, even in the mountains. So, Cousin Joab, go in peace and think carefully. You may yet be blessed with wisdom.
Blessed? The word becomes blasphemy when you make use of it. A man cannot serve two masters. And in that moment, my love for Prince Absalom died. Now my dedication was to David. I'd long ago regretted having been instrumental in the events that led Absalom back to Jerusalem. I regretted my part bitterly. But David still grieved and would not give way to anger.
No choice, you say?
No choice, my lord. We dare not let this infamous army outside the gates threaten this city. Nor can we risk Absalom inciting the people here to revolution. Your son's army must be destroyed before he can divide this country.
Let me think about it. Let me seek guidance. Lord God, hear now thy servant, I beseech thee. What I have done against thee, Lord, what have I done that my son should turn against me with bitterness and hate? I have served thee as best I could, Lord. And if I have sinned, I have repented, still knowing I am unworthy, yet always loving thee. Look upon me now, Lord, so that I may do right in thy sight. Shall a father take up arms against his own son? Lord God, I beseech thee to answer me this question.
My lord king,
where is my son now?
In the hills, my lord, camped there with his army, and each day he sends a challenge.
Accept the challenge.
I can march against him tomorrow, my lord.
Destroy his army.
But a man who has raised his hand against you, my lord, shall live.
For my own part, I shall go into the wilderness, where I may be alone with God. I cannot be near the scene of battle. But just one thing, Joab, one thing I beg you. Spare my son, Absalom.
He may be killed in battle.
He must not be harmed. Spare him.
And David went barefooted into the wilderness, unable to remain near the scene of the battle he had ordered me to wage against his son, his favorite son. He went into the wilderness, despised by many people, for the taking up of arms against his own son. And there were those who laughed at him, saying that he was afraid of the growing power of his son Absalom. There in the wilds, David took refuge in the one thing that had always brought him comfort, the poetic soul the Lord God had given him, and the poetry and music of his own psalms.
In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue me. Incline your ear to me. Make haste to deliver me. Be my rock of refuge, a stronghold to give me safety. You are my rock and my fortress.
Prince Absalom was entrenched in the hills beyond Jerusalem,
with a strong force that far outnumbered the small army I took against him. But it is one thing to possess a rebel army, another to know how to use it. Absalom was no match for my years of experience in the field of soldiering. And in a matter of hours, I cut Absalom's army to pieces, and his soldiers were massacred and scattered. What is said of that battle is true. Absalom, frightened by defeat, fled. His horse had been killed under him, and he took a mule and rode into the forest. By curious mischance, he rode under a tree, caught his head in the lower branches. There he hung, suspended in midair. And that was how it was when I caught up with him. Cousin Absalom, there are better ways to die than by hanging yourself.
Help me. In God's name, help me.
In God's name? You cry out in his name? You who took up arms against your father, the anointed of God?
Help me. Cut me free. Joab, have pity.
I must finish you off. You must know that.
No. No, cousin Joab, have mercy.
Mercy of a sort you can have. You set yourself up as a soldier. I'll let you die as one by the sword.
Joab, I am David's son. You cannot kill me.
You disowned your father.
I repent. Oh, Joab, I repent.
Repent well, then. Then turn to God in these last few moments.
Oh, Joab, we were friends.
Even closer, we are cousins.
Joab, I beg of you, have mercy.
Enough to give you time to pray and to turn to God.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
And how they tell it, it is true. For I took 3 spears and placed them in Absalom. And still he was not dead. And 10 of my young men came upon us. And seeing Absalom, they struck him down with their swords until he was dead. And when David heard that his son was dead and had not been spared, he mourned.
Absalom. My son, Absalom. My son. Would to God that I could have died in your place. My son. My son.
And after a time, David returned to the palace, and I came to him, the one who had destroyed his son.
Get from my sight, my lord king. Absalom disowned you. You were no longer his father. He was your bitterest enemy, and he took up arms against you. He could not be spared. To have spared him would have encouraged him to try again. He would have seen you were weak. And that would have given him strength to go against you.
I grow old. I can only reason as a father who has lost his son.
You have other sons. Give to them the affection you squandered on Absalom.
Joab, you have served Israel. I know this. I know what you did was right. Yet I cannot forgive you, but I cannot punish you either. Just leave me. Let me mourn.
But David was prone to forgive even those he hated. As he had forgiven Saul and so many others, he forgave me for a time. It was I who opposed Solomon succeeding him. It was I who attempted to place David's other son, Adonijah, on the throne of Israel. And because of this, I was destroyed. And Solomon was anointed and succeeded David. And yet the days of Israel's power as a great nation were numbered.